Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Ah, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Father's Day. I love Father's Day. I love coming to church on Father's Day, where we get to honour our Heavenly Father and consider the way that He approaches us as His children, what we can do from that as well. You know, this image here that we have on this table here, which we'll get to in a little bit, is an image that we actually see right throughout Scripture. We see this image of a table or a banquet, and in the New Testament we see that as well, where it was a time where friends and family would get together and spend a special moment around food. And we need to realize that back in those days, there was no such thing as a supermarket the way we have it today. There wasn't a freezer that you could go to and just grab a meal out at the end of the day. And there certainly wasn't Uber Eats. You could just order in and have. There was a significant amount of effort that went into providing a meal and setting a table for the family and friends that came along. And sadly, I think that this aspect of even the family table is something that we tend to miss more and more in today's society. And especially at family table where there's no digital elements attached to the family table. Do you know what I'm saying? It is a beautiful time of sitting around with a meal and talking to one another. And I would encourage all families to actually appreciate the significance of the family meal table where you can do that. But food itself is a necessary part of life for us. Without it, let's be honest, we won't last long. Some will last longer than others, but without it, we won't last long. I remember over many years, and I want you to see this picture. The point number one for me today is that the table has been set, and this was set prior. This was set beforehand. And for me, growing up with my mum and my dad, when I got married and we moved out of home, we would go back to mum and dad's house for the meal on occasion, Christmas being one of those meals, and you would walk in and you would see that table that had been set up in anticipation for the lunch that we were going to have. And Christmas lunch, like the family meal table, it wasn't about grabbing your food and then going and sitting in front of the TV for us. It was about sitting around as an extended family to be able to have that communication with one another. And the setting of the table by my mother, it was in anticipation for not the food that was going to be on the table necessarily, but for the people that were going to join her at that table. And just as our bodies need food to survive, our souls actually also need food to survive. There is a hunger that we have in our souls, a hunger for meaning and a hunger for purpose in life. And the way that we distill that down here at church is we say something like, we need God. We acknowledge that there is something in us that is calling out in every single human being saying that we actually need God. We can't do it ourselves. And just like it was my mother that set the Christmas table for us, this table has been set for us, not by Duncan even, but by Father God. Let's look at John 14 in verse 1 to 3. And the disciples are coming around, they're having this meal together, and the disciples ask Jesus, they're worried about him moving away. And here's what he says. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." So the first thing to note is that the table has been set. The second thing that I want you to know today is that you have been invited. Who knows, it's one thing to actually see a beautiful spread on a Christmas lunch table or on a table itself. It's another thing to actually have that invitation to attend actually given to you. You have been invited to this table. And God himself has actually written an invitation to each one of us. You might say, "I haven't received it in the mail, Andy. I haven't got it with God's signature on the bottom." But it's not that. It's actually an invitation that God has written on each one of our hearts, an invitation to him, stamped with his seal and sent off to you. We are not physical beings only. Look at the person next to you. Look at their eyes. Look at their nose. Check out that nose. Have a look at the chin. Why don't you compliment them on that chin of theirs? What a beautiful chin that is. But I tell you what, And even for the kids here today, kids, you're gonna. When you look at your mum and your dad, or when you look at your brother and your sister, what you see is not the entirety of them. You see their physical body, but there is more to them than that. We as human beings, we have a body, we have a soul, and then we have a spirit as well. And God's invitation to us is not just physically sitting at the table, but it's an invitation of our souls in responding to Him. And as we respond, the good news is that our spirits then come alive. This is the way the Bible says it in Romans 8, verse 1 to 2. It says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." Father God's invitation to us at the table is to come and to find life. So firstly, the table has been set. Secondly, you have an invitation to attend and come to this table. But the third thing that you need to know is once the invitation has been extended to you and you make your way there, is that you actually need to come and sit at the table. And this is the part where, unfortunately, there are many people who actually stop. They've received the invitation, they see the table, but then when it comes to sitting down, they actually stop. And there's a couple of reasons, I think, why people stop here. Firstly, it's about etiquette. And I don't know if you've ever been to a table where you've been unsure of the proper etiquette. It can be quite uncomfortable, am I right, if you don't know the etiquette. For me, my experience with this was actually at Pastor Graham's house. I used to go over there as a young child and into my teen years, and there was one time I remember sitting at the table with the family for dinner, and I would sit there, and Pastor Graham would look up at me, and he would say, "Elbows off the table." And I'd pull my elbows back. I was like, what is there, like wet paint on the table or something like this? But it was an etiquette thing. It's something that I wasn't aware of. And to be honest, it came across pretty gruff. He was probably being very kind, but to me, hey? Just normal. Normal gruff. Normal gruff grey. And then there was something else I remember at the Nelson household as well. That my meal, and it was beautiful. Chris, every meal was beautiful. Thank you very much. This is not that. And the meal was beautiful. But then I remember having to, I was parched. And I was used to having a glass of cordial or something at home with my meal. But I had to finish my dinner before I got something to drink. Now, I don't know if this is a misinterpretation of mine or not. But I was in the desert for all of that meal. All I wanted was a glass of water. But was I allowed to have a glass of water in the middle of my meal? No. Eat your dinner, then get something to drink. That's how it was. Is that because you don't want us filling up on water? Don't fill up on water, kids. Don't. There's some things you just don't know, right? You just don't know. And if you don't know the etiquette in a place, it can make you feel sometimes uncomfortable to actually go and sit there. And for some people, if you look at the table and you think, man, what it is to be a Christian, I see some people, and I just would not know how to operate at this table that God has set up for me. That can be a barrier. Secondly, you feel like you're just a friend of a friend. Have you ever been invited to a wedding of a colleague or someone or a birthday party, or you've just come into a relationship with someone and you get invited to their family get-together? I remember being invited to one of Cass's uni friends' weddings before. And I remember going along, and out of the 150 or 200 people that were there, they knew it felt like they knew each other, and I knew my wife. I knew my wife, and that was it. And I knew one person. And I'm not the social butterfly like Cass at those types of things, but it really feels like when you're in that situation, though the invitation had my name on it, I actually didn't feel like I belonged. I'd received the invitation, but I didn't feel like I belonged at the party. I was a friend of a friend, or as a long-lost relative, or perhaps even you feel like you're the person that everyone else got invited to the party, and then you were the last one left, so they thought they might need to send you an invitation as well. So you've got the invitation, but it feels like you don't belong, that you were just the last one left, and so you got invited. But the third thing is the reason why I think people stop and don't actually come to the table is because they don't feel worthy. There's no way when I look at my life and I look at the beautiful table that has been set for me that I feel like I'm actually worthy to take a seat at that table. Am I worthy? And there's a message in all of us, but especially for the fathers today. Because the truth is, for some of you, maybe you were seated at the table. And maybe at some point in your life, you feel like you've gotten up and you've walked away from the table. And you look back at it and you see and you know the experiences. But I'm just distant. I feel like I'm just standing up against the wall on the other side of the room watching all of what's going on. For some men, you feel like you've worked so hard to actually provide the table in the first place and to provide everything else that's on the table that perhaps that's been at the cost of other things and therefore you feel not worthy to actually sit at the table. Maybe it's been at the cost of your spiritual leadership in the home and you feel like you're up against the wall. For others, you feel like you've made a mistake or you've made too many mistakes or you're continuing to make mistakes and therefore you feel like you're not worthy to sit at the table, that beautiful table. But whether you don't know the etiquette or you don't feel like you belong or you feel unworthy to sit at the table, I want you to know, and look into my eyes today, I want you to know God says to you, you are welcome at this table. You are welcome to take a seat at the table. But it's not by your own strength. It's not by you cleaning yourself up enough, knowing the right etiquette that you can come and sit down here. It's not because you've made enough friends that now you feel comfortable to sit at the table. You cannot buy yourself a seat at the table, nor can you sweet talk anyone into a seat at the table. It is only by Jesus and through Jesus that we are able to be welcomed to the table in the first place. I want to read you a couple of verses of scripture here out of Ephesians 2. And these scriptures encapsulate just what's going on here when we get welcomed to the table. And if you're here today, and maybe you've been invited by family or friend, and you're like, man, I don't read much Bible. I don't know too much about this. I want you to see this and just receive this truth, this amazing truth of the word. For those of us in here who know Christ, who have this revelation, I want you to allow this to stir in you, just a moment of worship to God as you hear these words and as you listen to this scripture. Ephesians 2, verse 1. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. It is in our acceptance of Jesus as Lord, in the acceptance of His forgiveness, and in the repentance and the turning from our sin that we are now welcome to the table of the Lord. The table has been set. The invitation has been sent. And now it is time to be welcomed and come and sit at the table. And I want to ask if there's a couple of fathers that I've asked that I want to come up to the stage today and take a seat at the table. Aaron, come and take a seat at the table with us, mate. You are welcome here. And you may feel like you're a friend of a friend. Or you may feel like this is not your place, but you are welcome at this table, mate. Come and take a seat. You are a friend of Christ. He knew you before you were born. Daniel Gash, Come on up, Dan. Come on up to the table. Dan, you might not be sure of the etiquette at this table. You might not be sure whether you can put your elbows on or off or understand everything about the Christian life. But, sir, you are welcome at the table. And God says that though you may not know all of the etiquette, come and sit at the table and I will teach you, is what he says. I have your word. I've given you my word. And I will teach you as you come and as you sit at the table. Come on up, Craig Moulton. Where are you? Come on, Craig. Come and take up the seat at the table. You're over here, my man. This seat is for you. God has set this place up specifically for you, Craig. I want you to see, there's your name. There's your name. This seat has been prepared specifically for you. Come, you are welcome at the table. The last one on this table. Mr. Fox, Gavin, where are you? Gav, come and take a seat at the table. Join these others. You are welcome, sir. You are welcome at this table. Maybe you don't feel worthy to come and sit at this table. Maybe you see the others that might be sitting at the table and there's a self-worth thing. Or maybe you think about the different things in our lives and think, oh, I'm not worthy. You have the name of Jesus above your life and he is the one who has made you worthy to sit at this table. Welcome. You are welcome at this table. So now what? When these guys are sitting here at the table, now what? I'm at the table. It's time to eat. It's time to enjoy. And now I just, like, for the sake of this, don't feel that you have to eat in front of everyone. Though you can if you want. Go for it. Enjoy the food at this table. The longer you wait, the colder it's going to get. It's time to eat. It's time to enjoy. And you're at the table. Don't look at them. Look at me. Just let them eat. But this is the thing, because when you come, you enjoy the time at the table and you're back because you're back in relationship with God again. And it's time to feast. And what is this meal? And I said about at the start, we have food for our bodies. What is that meal that we have for our soul? It is Jesus himself. Jesus is the one who we experience at the table. In John 6:35, it says, Jesus replied, he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Living a life where Jesus is our focus, it means our lives change. It means peace comes. It means fulfillment comes. It means joy comes. But it also means, and we've heard it this morning, it also means correction comes to us. We don't have to live the same that we did before we knew him, because our spirit has come alive and now we live with the Word of God as our foundation. And so for you today, if you see this picture and you think, well, it's etiquette or it's my self-worth or it's, do I belong at this table? There is an entrance point for every single one of us. But we know only so much. But we serve a God who is faithful to continue to teach us. And you know how he does that? Through his word, yes. But it's also about being part of a church community that actually we can, iron sharpening iron, we can actually say, hey, did you know this? Did you realize this? And even on occasion, hey, just be careful about that in your own life. Let us welcome that. Let us be a people that welcomes that correction from the word of God. Let us be a people that welcomes that correction from one another. Not that we do it out of criticism, but we do it because we want to see Jesus glorified in our lives. And we want to see other people come and be welcomed to that table. So I just want to pray for a few people today. And with every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to give an opportunity. If you're here in church or if you're watching with us online today, that you've seen the table maybe for a number of years. And that you know that there's been an invitation extended to you by God to sit at that table. And today is the day. Today is the day I want to encourage you to come and take a seat at that table, because you are welcome. You are welcome. To know Jesus is one of the most amazing things. It is the most amazing thing that you can experience in your life. Because no longer do the pressures of the world, or anything else in that matter, rise above, because he sits above it all, and we know that. There is a peace that comes to our lives. There is a healing that comes to our lives. And for some people today, I prayed it out. I felt it so strongly out the back that there are some people today, and you feel like you're, whether it's a man or not, that you're, there's some brokenness in your life. And you feel like this outer physical shell of yours is putting on the best performance that you can, but inside you feel like you're just full of cracks. And living a life where Jesus is Lord over our lives, we put all of that, essentially, we submit it before him. And we say, no longer am I going to look to how I can fill those cracks, but we say, Jesus, I trust you and I submit my life to you. Change me. Mold me. Shape me. And so I'm gonna ask for two responses today. The first one, if you don't know Christ, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to come and take a seat at the table today, I just want to have you raise your hand quickly and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If that's you today and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, would you just raise your hand quickly? Is that you here today? Is there anyone? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See that hand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is the first part of the journey. This is the first part. There's so much more to come. Thank you, Lord. And secondly, if you're here today and that word resonates with you, that they feel like there's a bunch of cracks inside and there's a further submission that needs to happen for you, I want to pray for you as well. Would you raise your hand? That's you today. Thank you, Lord. This is going to require some honesty. And I said it out the back that this is a vulnerable moment for some people. With no one looking around, is that you? Can I pray with you today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see those hands. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the table that you have set for us. We thank you for the invitation that you have sent to us. Father, we thank you for the decision that many people have made to actually come and sit at that table and enjoy a life filled with you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for those who are in this room today that feel like underneath the surface level that there's a bunch of cracks and there's a bit of brokenness. Father, I pray that they would know your presence with them right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray and I ask that you would give them a stirring to know your truth, the truth of the Word of God. And that truth would be that firm rock, that firm foundation that their lives are built upon from this moment forward. Jesus, we thank you that you did not just live 2,000 years ago and died. But we thank you that you were raised from the dead and that you now live within us. Jesus, we thank you that we are not alone as we walk on this earth. You are with us. You are for us. And that we can trust in you. So Lord Jesus, we each in our own minds want to take that seat at the table. We want to enjoy you, Lord God, in all of our life. So how well. Let's go all in. Let's go all in. Let's eat what God has given us today.